Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood. I'm Jamie.
I'm John.
And I'm August.
This is a podcast where we talk about movies of the week we watched and topics we want to discuss. But this week, episode 17, is our films. And we're going to lead off with John.
All right, guys. I watched a little movie I found on Netflix. Not super popular.
It was about little people?
No. it was really one of those, I'm like, I just want to find something that's like an hour and a half long, you know, that yeah. maybe
just something,
something to knock out, you know. It's called He Never Died, and it stars Henry Rollins, and the director is Jason, how do you pronounce that last name? Krausik. And it's a neat little independent, I guess it would be a horror film.
Okay.
Like, well, it's gore. The Henry Rollins plays this character that is seemingly invincible, where he can take bullets to the head and, you know, stab-ins and stuff like that, and just continues on his way like nothing happened. It's about, I gotta say right now, the plot is very light. It's a very light plot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of indie films are kind of like
that. And it doesn't even explain why that plot is even there. It's basically he has a daughter that he never knew existed, really. And she shows up at his doorstep. She's 19. Okay. She's kind of like a little rebel. She goes out to the bar and gets drunk. He has to go find her at like some scumbag's apartment and stuff like that. And he just wants to live his life. He doesn't want to deal with anybody, you know what I mean? He's always seems to run into like these violent characters and violent situations. And it turns out that his daughter ends up getting kidnapped by the local mafia, which is, it was funny because it's such a low budget independent film that it's just like a bunch of douches and like some major crime boss guy who's not really a major crime boss. And
so do they have like a national identity? Is it like the Russian mafia, the Italian mafia?
Not really. It's like local thugs.
It's a mishmash. Okay.
But the description says it like local mafia or kidnaps daughter.
Aren't all mafias local?
I guess.
I mean,
well, some would be bigger than others. It's not The Godfather or anything.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's. And he also has this weird habit of he has to eat human flesh.
Oh.
To stay alive. Sure. Or not to stay alive, he's got a urge in him to eat human flesh. So at the beginning, you see he's got like some deal with like an intern in a hospital where the intern gives him like, you know, body parts and stuff, and he uses that to, you know, satiate his need. Because, like, what's interesting about his character is he's very likable guy. He's very, like, quiet and keeps to himself, and he doesn't want to cause any trouble. He doesn't want to deal with anything. That's why he goes with the intern route to get body parts rather than go out and actually kill people. So whenever, like, these thugs and stuff confront him on things, they'll, like, punch him in the face, and he'll just, like, twitch a little bit, and they'll be like, stop. Yeah. Like, don't do this to me. Like, I don't want to deal with this today. You know, and he likes to sleep. So he just likes to nap and play bingo. And he likes to go play bingo because he says he can tolerate the people that are around him.
It's a bunch of old people.
So he doesn't have to, you know, go on a murderous rampage and kill people.
I kind of want to see this just for that scene of Henry Rollins playing bingo with a group of old
people.
Exactly,
yeah. He brings his daughter there when he finally, you know, but...
Hey, Ingrid, have you ever heard of a band called Black Flag?
Yeah, that's what... That's what I love about Henry Rollins is, you know, from the Henry Rollins Band and Black Flag and stuff, but...
Junkyard Wars.
But I've always enjoyed him as an actor. I think he's a very underutilized actor. Because he was great in this film. Everything else was kind of, you know, low budget and wasn't really well written. The plot was meh. But Henry Rollins did an amazing job, and I'd love to see him do more bigger roles, bigger projects. Like Henry Rollins himself, what have you guys seen him in anything?
Yeah. Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
That's really it. But I've always liked like his persona and the clips I've seen him in. And you know, everything I've ever seen him do, I've liked him.
His presence, he has that menacing...
Yeah, he has a very intimidating presence. Which is interesting in the character he plays in this movie, because you look at him and you think, oh my god, this guy will murder me. Yeah. But he's really just like, I just want to go on my day and take a nap, eat some human flesh, and just leave me the fuck alone. And of course, nobody leaves him alone. No. You know, they always start shit with him. And one of my favorite scenes in this movie is he gets shot in the head by one of the mafia people, right? And of course, it doesn't kill him. He ends up killing the majority of the people in the diner where he gets shot. And then he keeps one of them alive so he can question them.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're driving to, I forget where they were driving to, his apartment, I think, to question him, he's pulling the bullet out of his head with a pair of pliers. And the female lead is, like, screaming, like, oh my god, this is gross, I can't deal with this, how are you not dead, and blah, blah. And he just very calmly explains, I have to pull the bullet out. Because if it heals over, then it's going to give me migraines. You know what I mean? It's... and then when he's interrogating the thug, he says, I hate it when you guys use 9mm. I'd rather you have something that goes right through me so I don't have to pull the bullets out of my head.
Huh.
And, it's... Again, lose some plot, but I'm going to go into spoilers.
Okay.
If you guys don't mind. Unless Jamie...
I was going to say, you're burying the lead. I could have sworn the trailer kind of gave a lot away more than what you're giving us.
It's in the movie, it's only revealed towards the end.
Weird. The trailer spoils the entire
thing. Does the trailer say it? Because yeah. It doesn't really tell you at all who he is. I'll tell you everyone.
Go for it.
Tell them
all. He's Cain from the Bible.
Yeah.
Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
And in the story from the Bible is Cain murders his brother and he's cursed to walk the earth for the rest of his life. So even though he's immortal, he can still feel pain and stuff like that and get injured, but it'll always heal. And it's basically, you know, towards the end of the film, he's, you know, really like sick of this life, you know, and he's like kind of like cursing God and all this stuff, but nothing's resolved. Like the main bad guy gets his comeuppance and it just kind of ends.
He just continues on living.
He just continues walking. On walking the earth. The gore was really good, done really well. There's a few good scenes. There's a lot of blood splatters. There's a guy gets his throat ripped out, you know, bullet holes, things like that. All look fantastic. I'll give it that for sure.
Now, is it, it's an indie film, so is it all practical?
It's pretty much all practical, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. But I thought practical effects were too expensive for Hollywood films.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, how would you do it otherwise if you're an independent?
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, I want a blood splatter, I guess... We'll just have to go old school and just do it the way they used to do it. It didn't cost $15 million to do a blood splatter, you know, or squib, you know.
Apparently the studios, they don't pay the special effect companies a lot of money, so, I mean, what's just an indie film where they can't pay much, you know? It's just another job.
Exactly. But yeah, overall, like I said, it was just one of those films that I just randomly picked on Netflix, ended up enjoying it quite a bit. If you ever, I would recommend it as you're bored one night, you're just looking for something, and you got Netflix on, just give it a watch. It's like an hour and a half, an hour 37 minutes.
It's like a little gory action film to check out. Yeah.
That's not horrible. Netflix is filled with horrible, you know, horrible, God, cheesy movies, and this is actually a really good one. So
I've wanted to see this since I heard about it last year. August probably doesn't know this. The writer-director had interviewed me for a short film John and I did.
Oh, really?
And he had his own podcast about movies. And he went to the Bangor Kabang Film Festival, interviewed a couple of directors, and then I heard the podcast. I'm like, that's really cool. And then all of a sudden, I see his name, like, or his Facebook post, like, hey, we're releasing a movie. I'm like, holy fuck, Henry Rollins, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I've been anxious to see this movie, and like I said, the trailer gave away the spoiler. So if you watch the trailer, you know what happens anyway.
Yeah.
But it looks like a fun time.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
I just had heard that. I had heard about this film, but it was just mostly that Henry Rollins was in it.
Mm.
I hadn't seen the trailer or anything like that, so. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like one of those movies where it has, like, a really good premise. A really interesting core, but then everything else around it is just kind of, like,
subpar around it. Not horrible, but
nothing to elevate it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like a John Wick. Honestly, I went and saw it in theaters, but when I saw the trailer for it, I'm like, okay, this is going to be kind of dumb. And yeah. I was actually kind of surprised while watching it. I'm like, oh, this is actually a little bit deeper than what it
now, if came the, up as. If you were to say the twist, or whatever have you, he's Kane, was like end of Act 1, would that be cooler? There's more to that? Like, they could do more with it?
To be honest, I wish they wouldn't even revealed anything. I mean, when you first watch it, you're like, is he a vampire? Mm. But he's out in the daylight, so I'm like, okay. I'm like, is he a zombie? But there's no... he's not rotting away or anything. And I was just like, well, what the hell is he? He's just some dude. I thought, because at first, when it said he never died, I thought maybe there was some weird ritual that happened when he got killed but came back to life or something.
Okay, yeah.
And I figured that would... they would eventually explain that way. But, no, it's basically he's just right up in at the third act, he just explains who he is and that he's Kane. So it wasn't really even a big reveal. It was just kind of...
How does he reveal that he's Kane? Does he straight out say, I'm Kane?
Yeah.
Or does he go into a little story and being like...
Well, during the film, he sees...
got in a fight with my brother.
Well, which something else that they don't really explain, I guess it's left up to interpretation, is he keeps seeing these men with like black hats and black jackets and stuff. And, he thought only he could see them, but his daughter could see them too. And they just kind of like show up and they sit in the restaurant where he eats and stuff like that. And it's, so it's kind of like, oh, okay, there's something else going on here. Are they watching him? Are they trying to keep him under control or something like that?
No.
So at the end, when he's having his confrontation with the mafia leader, he sees one of these guys with the black hats. And he's finally, like, had enough. And he goes over and he just starts yelling at this guy. And this guy won't respond. And he goes to swing at him to punch him. And it almost breaks his hand trying to punch this guy. And then finally he goes into, like, a monologue of that he's Kane. And that his brother was basically a nothing. And he deserved to die and all this stuff. And then he curses God for having to walk the earth and stuff like that. So it's kind of like really abrupt. It's just
okay.
Like, he just does this explanation just like that, you know. But and they never really explain what the other one is. I guess it might be the devil or a demon or something like that, but
the one in the black jacket.
Yeah, the one in the black jacket.
Huh.
Doesn't really explain it.
Yeah, I almost thought like Adjustment Bureau, spoilers for that movie, where these guys in the hats are black hat or whatever is like the angels are kind of watching over Earth. Yeah. So that's what I figured this was.
Really?
You didn't watch the film?
No.
Boom.
Because I didn't think it looked like a good movie, but it really is angels.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
It's really...
really...
yeah.
Is angel... Why is Matt Damon trying to run away from him?
Because he hates them.
He hates
angels. I'm not trying to spoil.
Was he an atheist? And like in the end of the movie, he gets changed, and he's like, "Oh, okay, I believe in God now."
Yes.
Because a bunch of men in hats and suits chased after me.
I'm saying yes just to end the conversation.
Oh my!
No, it's not that. Not that far out. There's more to it.
I will say, He Never Died was better than the Adjustment Bureau.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like the Adjustment Bureau. Okay. God damn. Whatever.
Okay.
I know, I like everything.
Anyway, August, your movie?
So, we do this a little different. Because I saw three movies this week, and I really enjoyed all three and could talk about either of three, so I'm going to leave it up to you guys to decide which of these three you want to hear me talk about. We've got Nicholas Winding Refn's Neon Demon.
Mm.
We've got Duncan Jones' World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Okay.
And the 1973 Eiichi Yamamoto, Belladonna of Sadness. That's more of an art house indie film. So which one of those three would you guys like to hear about?
All right, listeners, text 1-4.
We'll don't give out my phone number, asshole.
We will wait until you guys respond. We'll be here for the next week and a half. Or never. What do you think, John?
I know what I want to hear about.
I want to hear about Warcraft.
I want to hear about Neon Demon.
Because it'll spoil it. I don't want to have spoilers.
I won't spoil Neon Demon. I won't spoil really
anything. Okay, actually. Okay, we will talk about Neon Demon at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we will.
So we're going to go with Warcraft because I don't care about spoilers for Warcraft. And he, if there's any big spoilers.
Okay, yeah. All right. I can spoil it.
Because Neon Demon, to me, wants. I want to discuss that one. Because
yeah, that would be a great communal movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Considering. Considering when one of us brings a movie to the table that the other two haven't watched, it's 10 minutes. And they're just explaining the movie.
Yeah.
There's no discussion about the quality or whatever.
Yeah, that's a movie where. Yeah. Really going in depth about the quality. Just a little aside before I go into Warcraft, Belladonna Sadness is amazing.
Sounds great. We listened to some of the soundtrack and it does sound amazing.
Yeah. Definitely check out the title track. It's up on YouTube. So, Warcraft. I guess I said World of Warcraft.
You did.
It's just Warcraft. I didn't want to see this movie. I didn't give a shit about this movie. But Mom and I, we took a trip to Montreal. It was a rainy day. We didn't really have anything to do. And she's like, you know, I'm kind of interested in seeing that. And I was like, fine, I'll tag along. And I ended up enjoying it. And it is my favorite action blockbuster film of the year. And, I mean, I've seen Civil War. And I've seen Civil War.
That's it?
Deadpool. I'll throw Deadpool on that. Sure. I liked it more than Deadpool. And
wow.
I
was like, are you waiting for a reaction? Because I don't know if I want to give one. Being predictable and stuff.
Oh, okay, I have to ask you. Is it because you used to play Warcraft or World of Warcraft?
No. Okay. I should probably add that. I know zero about Warcraft.
Because I figured the only way that movie would appeal to anyone would be fans of Warcraft franchise.
Yeah, I thought that too. That kind of adds to where I enjoyed it. So much is because I was like learning the world and how
of Warcraft.
Yeah, I was learning the world of Warcraft and just kind of like the lore and just like how these different factions interact with each other. Like with my limited knowledge of just Horde, Alliance, Azeroth. That was all I knew. And I knew that there was magic in the Fel. I just thought they were just necromancy. That's basically what they are. But I did not know that the orcs are actually from a different, like, planet. Huh. Like, a different universe. Either.
What?
Yeah.
Now, is that lore in the games, too? Do you know? Or is that something they put in the movie?
I don't know. I think it would have to be. Because I feel like the Warcraft crowd would get kind of pissed off if it wasn't.
Was the panda race in it?
No.
Pandarians?
The Pandarians?
No, they were not. There are no Pandarians.
Whatever. This movie sucks.
But what made it like interesting is that the orcs, their planet was basically like they used up all the resources. And it's become like a wasteland. And they have kind of taken trust in this one guy who has like the power of the Fel or whatever. And they have this other fraction of, like, blue, maybe elf or blue orcs. And it starts out with him sucking the life from all these prisoners and opening up a portal that a small, like, guerrilla group of the strongest warriors of the orcs go through the portal and start wreaking havoc on Azeroth. So then they can capture more people and open up a bigger portal for even longer, so they can get the whole entire Horde over.
That's how portals work.
It is? Well, in Warcraft, I mean.
In theory, scientists believe.
Okay. That's how it goes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like learning stuff about the lore really kind of like pushed it along and made me catch my interest in the movie. That action was pretty good. I saw it in 3D. So when there's a lot of quick movement or whenever the camera does a pan, oh my god, that just kills my fucking eyes. Yeah. And I have to like shut them and be like, is it over yet? But beyond that, the action was good. I had good CGI. There's really interesting things that happen with the story.
Now, I have to ask though, like from what I saw in the trailer, it just looked like CGI fluff nonsense. Yeah. But is the story good and is it it's dialogue's well done and everything?
I'll get to that. For an action blockbuster film, it does some really interesting things with a story.
Okay.
Really. Have you watched the trailers or anything like that?
I watched like two trailers, but that was a while back.
You see like the main orc or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He dies.
Hmm.
And he's one of the main characters. There's this whole entire scene where there is that the fell orc or whatever. He's like sucking the life out of him. And I was just like, okay, he's gonna get up, because the fell guy, he would do it and then like let him go, and the orc would keep fighting, and then he'd do a little hug again, and then eventually just sucks all the fucking life out of him. And I was just like, wow, they really just killed him off.
Kudos for that.
Yeah.
Sure.
They also, the orcs have this like capture. She's a half breed, half human, half orc. Gross. Or whatever.
So someone fucked an orc.
Someone fucked an orc, yes. Or got fucked by an orc. I don't know.
Destroyed by an orc.
Destroyed by an orc. The humans, the alliance gets a hold of her and basically use her as gathering of information or whatever. They even accept her and she starts fighting for them because she's always been seen as like a freak among the orcs, and they didn't really care about her, and she was a prisoner, and so now she's finally free and they trust her and she's become one with the group. And at the end, when there's like the big battle scene, to gain, like, the orcs are very like traditional, like old traditions, and if you kill the king, you're like number one. Like, the majority of people will answer to you. You will be seen as the legendary warrior. So during the big fight, you see like the fell orc's right hand man, or maybe it was, yeah, his right hand man going after the king. And the king like looks to Corona, who's this half breed, and tells her, you know, if he kills me, he's going to be seen as, you know, the top dog, and a lot of political power is going to be within him. So you have to kill me so you can, you know, be like the inside guy. Everyone will look to you, and you can try to use your influence to bring out, you know, an alliance between the alliance and the orc and the horde.
Hmm.
And yeah, so she ends up having to stab him in the neck, and she's distraught. Because she's like, now all of Alliance people, you know, hate me. They think of me as like a traitor. But I don't want to be a traitor to them. And so that's like interesting to see that happen in kind of like a blockbuster action movie. Hmm. Seeing something humanistic or whatever, you know, complicated. Not just bad guys fighting good guys.
Yeah, that's the word. It. Complicated. A little more complicated than a typical one. Because I didn't give it much credit at all from what I'd seen.
Oh gosh, me neither. So I was surprised to see the story go that way. Now, you said something about dialogue.
Whew. Is it bad? Is it like video game dialogue? Well, I do have to say, Blizzard's like, the cutscenes and stuff for their games look amazing, so they definitely has that cinematic movie feel. But I don't think there's much dialogue in those.
No, not really, other than, you know, moving all units, attack for the Horde. There is one character. He's kind of like some wizard or whatever. And if we have any Warcraft fans that are listening to this right now, they're probably like, their face is going red. They're screaming. They're like, you don't know who that fucking person is.
We don't have any fans.
This might. Someone will hear it somewhere that we weren't knowledgeable on Warcraft.
Yeah, maybe someone will.
And then they'll light up our message boards. And
outside your window, someone may hear, and that's the person getting upset.
Our addresses.
But some kind of runaway wizard from the clan of wizards or whatever, and he's kind of used a little bit as the humor. But that guy cannot act for shit. His line delivery is just so flat.
Now, are there any actors in this I would know? Or
I think actually Zoe Saldana, if that's her name.
Paula Patton.
She's the half breed orc?
It's not Zoe. Garona? I think it's Corona.
Paula Patton, I don't know her. Oh,
hold on. Ben Foster?
No. Oh, yeah. Ben Foster's amazing. That's not the guy.
Dominic Cooper.
Oh, he's Preacher now.
Toby Kebbell. Great.
Yeah, I like him.
He was the second in command in the newest Planet of the Apes.
He was the Rock and Roller. That was actually my first movie with Toby Kebbell was Rock and Roller, which is actually a really good movie.
Which eventually we'll talk and discuss.
Can we find out what that guy was?
Clancy Brown?
Clancy Brown. It's
fucking badass.
Can't go around wrong. I can't talk. He's so dreamy.
He's so dreamy.
Velvety voice. Ruth Negga, who's also in Preacher.
That's racist.
Whoa.
Okay, I see.
Callan. Berkeley Duffield.
He can't act?
I think that's him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, he was a wizard? That guy can't act. Yeah.
He looks like he's 20.
He's 10.
No, well, no. I mean, he's like apprentice of the wizards or whatever. Okay. And he was given to the group and he bounced out and he was exiled by them. And then he just kind of pops up because he sees that the Fel has an influence or whatever.
Okay, so I need to ask a question about this film.
Yeah, go ahead. Got any more questions, throw them my way.
There were worries about there being too many main characters. Too many characters. Because there was like a fucking... literally a dozen posters about different people in the movie.
Okay.
Did it feel overbearing in script form? Or was it well-balanced in terms of screen time and...
Yeah, there's a lot of characters. But you can tell which ones are important and which ones aren't.
Okay.
The thing with... fantasy movies is getting all the character names down. Like, I had to watch the first Game of Thrones season, like, 3 times before this person is this person.
I still can't. Like I love Game of Thrones, and besides, like, Tyrion and
Hodor,
a few other ones, I can't, like, they'll be talking about characters, and I have to stop and think, who was that character?
I find that interesting that there was talk about people being worried about there being too many main characters when we had Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, Civil War, which I feel is more than those two.
But they have easy
Age games. Of Ultron.
Plus, that argument's kind of invalid because they've had these movies to set them up for the most part, right? This is like all in one.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay, yeah, I can see it.
I think maybe, just in hindsight...
But if we're talking about, like, screen time, though, it's not a matter of established characters for screen time.
Right. I'm thinking they're probably just marketing. Remember Warcraft people? This character? Billy Bob MacGuffin?
I feel like that's definitely... That having all those character posters is kind of like teasers for those fans and being like, oh, you know, you had this... character's armor in the video game, well, he's gonna pop up in the movie. I think they've said that it's gonna be a trilogy, is it?
If it makes enough money.
Yeah, I was just about to ask if it was successful.
I think it actually was in the Eastern market.
Well, I mean,
while you're looking that up, I like this movie so much that I want to see the second one. Like, I hope it is successful enough to where we can watch the second one.
So the production budget, not including marketing, was $160 million. Not too bad for that kind of film, right?
Yeah, that's really not.
It made $46 million here.
Okay.
Worldwide, including the $46 million, $422 million.
Okay, so... So
a good amount.
Yeah, it made it back.
I think this is something that they're going to try to invest in because it's a franchise, I would hope, for the sake of the continuation of the trilogy.
I mean, I've heard talk of, like, why do we need a Warcraft when we already have Lord of the Rings?
What?
Because they're both fantasy. Yeah.
I hate those arguments, though.
Yeah, I find it a very dumb argument. Because it's not... This isn't Lord of the Rings.
It's like, why do another heist movie? We already had one. You know what I mean? It's...
Why need Goodfellas if we have The Godfather?
Yeah.
I've seen Godfather, so I can't really say Goodfellas is fucking phenomenal.
Point is, they're both good.
Yeah. Really thinking back, I guess the first Lord of the Rings did really well.
Financially. Oh, yeah.
So, I would like to see the second one. You know, maybe this is a trilogy that's, like, getting its feet, getting its bearings. Maybe, you know, we will get Two Towers, which is my favorite Lord of the Rings film. So, I'm anticipating it. I would say go see it. I would actually recommend it. It's not horrible. It's not going to be the greatest movie of the year, but don't go see Central Intelligence. Don't know, go see some other really terrible movie that's out during the summer, because it's kind of a dry season right now. Go watch Warcraft and give it a chance. Matinee that shit.
I might.
I'm more intrigued now than I ever was. If it gives you any...
Don't go see it in 3D.
I wouldn't want to.
It wasn't horrible in 3D. It was kind of an accident that we went and saw it in 3D. And I found out, you know, I realized, oh, this is why I don't go see 3D movies, because I can't fucking see half the thing. That's Warcraft. Pleasantly surprised.
You have changed my opinion now, because I said, a few weeks ago, I'll never see that movie, and now I'd watch it.
You'll enjoy it more than Ghostbusters.
The jury's still out on both of those movies for me, so I don't know.
I can kind of promise that.
Again, I'm going to Warcraft, because I already hate fantasy. I don't give a shit about the game series, so it's like, there's nothing for me there. That would be, you know, I'm basing this solely on your word.
Yeah.
So if I hate it, it's your fault.
Well, you get me there with the fantasy. You're not liking fantasy.
I can't.
Don't care for fantasy, mm-hmm. I guess. Just as much as, like, I really don't care for sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, it's still good. Still interesting. Still pretty cool.
Sure.
It's got some I love fantasy when it's done really well. I don't like it when it's, like, dumbed down or just simplified. Because I always looked at, like, fantasy, like, when you look at old fantasy books where it's just thick and deep and,
oh yeah,
you know, complicated.
Well, and this has that complication of character names. Like, I don't know who the fuck is who. I just know Corona. Just because, like, huh, I know that word. That's a beer.
Yeah.
So, speaking of product placement.
Product placement. Oh. Oh, wow.
Because,
Yeah.
Well,
I was trying to think of, like, incorporating Castaway and so.
Spoiler.
Well, I just casted my opinion on World of Warcraft. Now, Jamie.
Away.
Away to you, Jamie.
Jesus.
Didn't mean to strand you with that horrible transition.
God, stop. We already had one that was all right. It was shitty enough. My movie is the communal movie this week. It is the 2000 film, Castaway, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring, of course, Tom Hanks. And
who else?
Helen Hunt. And a lot of people.
Who else?
Eldon Henson, I believe.
Which one is he?
He's Foggy in Daredevil. He was in the background one scene, like, oh, there's fucking Eldon. Nice.
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Who was the flight attendant that...
Care.
No, know. The guy. During the plane crash.
Because
he looks familiar.
He does. I don't know him that well.
He looks similar to Sean Bean.
Yeah, but you're right.
But it's not. And I know I've seen him in other movies.
I wish it was Sean Bean, because he would have died again.
Okay, yeah. Continue on.
Anyway.
It also starred various products.
It did.
Yeah.
Corporation logos.
Whew.
Yep. Anyway. So, Castaway, a few years ago, somebody had asked me, and this is the first time I'd ever thought of it, you know, what's your top 10 movies of all time? And I never had, like, a number one, right? Or never had any, like, ordered films.
Yeah.
Just say it. Castaway was nearly made the list.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say it was number one.
I thought you were going to say number one. I was like, oh, God.
But I love this movie. I do. And the reason why, because it's more, I guess, it's more of the, I mean, the plot is, you know, it's very obviously very quiet. You know, there's no score until he gets off the island, essentially. And there's very little dialogue at all. I mean, after the intro, you know, going into the island crash, there is... something about Tom Hanks and his performance that just blows me away.
I know you can't hear grimaces.
It's more like you guys are going to shit your pants. All right, let's get into the... What's...
I don't like Tom Hanks.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay.
I just didn't think it was a mind-blowing performance by him. I think anyone could have pulled that off.
He didn't go too deep into it.
I mean, how deep do you have to go into it?
Well, I mean, it's... I didn't see anything. He didn't have, like, charisma. He's...
Yeah, you're really charismatic when you're on an island by yourself.
Well, even when he was excited that he made fire.
I made fire!
That's not... That's like the script.
I think IMDb ruined it for me.
IMDb?
Yeah.
Why?
Because before we watched it, I did like a little research on like on IMDb. Like, get the year or whatever, if it won any awards. And their little synopsis for it said, like... co-executive of FedEx gets in plane crash and gets stranded on an island and is transformed physically and emotionally. And I saw no transformation emotionally. And I guess I was kind of expecting that. Like, you could say that he went from being a man that was obsessed with time to where he's just kind of like, oh, I'm a free spirit. I'm at a crossroads. I don't know where I'm going to go. But I didn't feel any of it. I just watched it. It was just the movie.
Maybe I inadvertently picked a good one to give him shit for.
Yeah. This is so weird about this movie is that it is only 30 minutes shorter than Hard to Be a God.
Yeah.
Hard to Be a God is boring for you. This movie was boring for me.
Again, I did my job.
You did a very good job.
You're welcome.
Just, there was nothing interesting. Like, no interesting cinematography. There was only one shot, and that's when he gets, like, really high on a cliff, and they kind of have, like, a fish eye lens on.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, like, pan around with him looking over this ledge, so it kind of makes the island, like, look really small and isolated and had a really good, like, vertigo effect to it. Like, that was one scene out of 2 hours and 30 minutes. I was just like, this is interesting, visually.
See, I think you lean towards cinematography more. You always mention it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, there's nothing really that stands out about cinematography.
I mean, majority of it's just tripod shots and not even, like, interesting tripod shots.
He did Spider-Man. Don Burgess. Spider-Man, Forrest Gump, Castaway, Source Code.
Oh, that's the Duncan Jones one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Speaking of, Conjuring 2.
Alvin and the Chipmunks. Flight.
Flight 42, Muppets. Both Muppets. The new ones. Priest. Book of Eli.
Well, I mean, wow. Book of Eli. Huh?
I think he's gotten better since...
Yeah, he's gotten better.
Damn. Wow, that's pretty good. Terminator 3. Oh, no. I don't like going further back. It's not good. Yeah, so I want to hear John's opinion now.
Okay, my issues with it weren't so much from the cinematography. It was more... He frustrated the hell out of me when he was trying to collect rainwater. Because he had those coconuts with holes in them. All he had to do was just bury them a little bit in the ground, a whole line of them, and just let them rain in them, and then he would have had a bunch of them that he could use almost every day.
I'm going to one-up you a little bit there.
I think that would be a waste of time.
What? How would that be a waste of time? He had a deflated raft. He could have gotten four sticks, propped up the edges, and it would have collected a shit ton of rainwater.
Yeah.
Well, the way you're saying it, it's just there was no funnel. You just let the rainwater, like,
rain's better gonna than fall in an open hole.
Sure,
you have a coconut and you bury it halfway in the ground, and it's got a hole in the top. It's gonna fill with water.
But that is still better than what he does, and it just has them laying around.
They're just like laying on the ground, and
I know
they're sideways, and it's like it's not gonna get in there by osmosis.
No,
Jesus,
I don't think he did a good job. I'm saying I kind of like your idea now. I never thought of that. I was gonna say use the raft as a funnel. But then I was like, what container would he have? The coconuts would last like 5 seconds. You have to fill a new one up.
Yeah.
But no, that's a fucking good one.
Yeah.
Damn. August will survive. I'll give him some of my chub, and he'll survive any island you put him on.
This guy is an executive for FedEx. Jesus Christ. You think he'd be a little bit smarter?
Guess not.
Apparently fucking not. It did kind of annoy me when he would only drink the water out of the coconut. I'm like, you're not going to fucking eat it?
Well, his tooth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. His fucking tooth. Which he took way too long to get that fucking tooth out.
Yeah, I would have knocked that shit out the first day. I'm like, I'm gonna be here a while.
So, my other issues. This movie is the whitest movie I've ever seen in my life. So fucking
white. Because of the cast.
No, it's just the...
The sandy beaches.
No, it's white in... How, I guess, middle class white people, I think, are very boring. And a movie like this is just like a middle class white person's like fantasy of imagine if we ended up on an island and then this happened and then we're reunited, you know, kind of at the end and then blah 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 all this. And it just came off as pretentious white nonsense.
I think my grandma owns 5 movies and she's extremely white, like Kansas white, Podunk, middle of nowhere, 300 people, Kansas. And she owns 5 movies, and I think Castaway is one of them.
I think it doesn't surprise me, considering our race
and Titanic.
Must run in the family.
And when I say white, I mean it's the whole
white collar.
No.
Wait, white collar the rich one? Yeah.
Isn't the blue collar is the working guy.
Yeah, so white collar is the
white collar. It just felt like
it's so white.
Some white guy who has a boring life sat down and wrote a movie and was like, is this what it would be like? You know, kind of shit, and just had no fucking idea. And what bugged me about it was the premise was really good.
Yeah.
And it could have been, I think, a lot better. I think the situations that he was going through could have been, rather than, like, kind of silly, could have been more in-depth and more practical. You know, that's why I brought the coconuts thing. You know, I was just like, wouldn't anyone know to just do something smarter
yeah.
than what he was doing?
He doesn't even build shelter. He just goes into a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a cave, I'd probably go in the cave too, honestly.
I would.
Instead of exerting energy, building a shelter, it's going to be blown away in 5 fucking seconds.
We got to think about gangrene. If you're always sleeping in a cave, wet cave, wet
damp cave. With me, I'm allergic to mold. Yeah, that'd be probably bad for me. I don't know. I think, to your point, I don't know of any other remotely good island films. Do you? I'm trying to think. Like, obviously, there's old shows. I think Swiss Family Robinson's a show.
Yeah. Or a movie. One. I was actually thinking about it. They're the ones that are made. Lord of Flies.
Lord of Flies.
That's a good movie, though? Yeah. But it's actually a pretty good movie, too.
Well, it's a good book.
Yeah. Movie follows it pretty damn well.
I just think the situation would be a lot more darker and dire than what it was. I mean, and the whole, it felt like he gets the soccer ball and he puts the face on it, and then now it's Wilson, his friend, that he talks to. You know what I mean? It's like the typical thing you would write. Somebody who's been on an island for 4 years. Oh yeah, of course they think the volleyball is a real person talking to. And I was just like, come on.
It's actually an interesting question that I had asked John while we were watching it. I was like, is it more insane to talk to an inanimate object than yourself?
I don't know. I guess I would probably do that myself too. Because you talk to yourself anyway, and then you get bored. You have to have some kind of focal point. I never stood out to me as awkward.
Well, it just felt like it was somebody who would write the script, didn't do any research into what would really happen to somebody on an island for 4 years. You know, isolation like that. You know what I mean? It just felt like what you would think in your head.
Yeah.
You know, without any...
Yeah, I get it now.
Any psychological research into what could happen. You know what I mean?
I mean, he gets fucked up. Like, his feet, they get torn up. His calf gets stabbed with coral. He knocks his tooth out with the...
He probably would have died of some infection, honestly.
Yeah.
In one of those wounds.
Which, how did that skate work? Because he nudged it against the tooth, but he was hitting it directly on the end, so that would just cause the blade to just go into his mouth, wouldn't it?
Well, if he hit the tooth, he'd push it inward and break it out.
Oh, he was having it sit on the tooth? Yeah. Oh, I thought he was like sitting between the teeth, and he was like trying to...
So that's one thing we shouldn't have to explain, August.
But then he would have choked on the fucking tooth then.
I mean, I don't know.
He goes flying out.
Depends how it hits.
I do have to say, though, okay, I'll bring up what I liked about it, but I got one more point on what I didn't like. And I know we talked about the whole FedEx thing, but the logos and the fucking product placement, that will take me out of a movie immediately. And as soon as it's like, big billboard, FedEx, Dr. Pepper, Wilson, which is the fucking brand name of the ball.
Yeah.
Wilson. I'm like, fucking stop with this shit. Like, I can't deal with that. It's like watching a fucking commercial when you're trying to watch something. Yeah, I can't. So that drew me out, like, almost immediately.
He thought deserting him on an island, he'd be free of product placement. And all of a sudden, a fucking volleyball shows up out of nowhere. Yeah.
See, to me, the first time I watched the movie... See, I didn't like it as much as I did at first. Until later, and I'll explain why. But the first time, I definitely did get the aggravation of product placement. But, like, the FedEx thing was written in as, like, his job. So if it had just been that, maybe...
If they would have made up a name...
Oh, right, they could have done that.
Speedy delivery or some shit, I would have been like, fine, I have no problem with it. But the fact that... Look, almost every scene where it's not on the island, there's a FedEx logo. Mm-hmm. Like, in the fucking background, it's in the corner, it's there on a table. I'm just like, holy shit, that bugs me.
It's on a water bottle.
It's on the water bottle.
They didn't pay for product placement either. I told John that earlier.
What?
They didn't pay for it. The guy wrote it in the script, and then they're like, well, I guess that's fine, the way you're depicting our company. And I guess they said after it did help their business, especially internationally. But
did Wilson say anything about that?
I don't know.
Probably helped their business a fuck ton. Was there a series of teenagers in the 2000s slicing up, open their hands and putting it on a Wilson volleyball?
I think usually they just put it on the end of the bathtub. So
didn't they actually have an edition of the volleyball?
I was going to ask. They probably should have.
I think they have.
If they're smart. One of my favorite things from this was FedEx made a commercial a couple years after the movie came out for Super Bowl. And like it's like before he shaved, like it's not Tom Hanks, but it's like some other guy. He's like, I brought this package for you. I was stranded on an island for 3-4 years, and it helped me. It saved my life. She's like, oh, thank you. That's so nice of you. And she opens, she leaves, and he's like, well, what's in it? She's like, oh, a GPS satellite phone, some matches, and all this shit. And he's like, oh. He just ends. It's fucking great. I guess that was what the rumor, or what the director jokingly, I don't know if he jokingly said it was or not, but what was in there was a GPS waterproof satellite phone. So that one fucking package. I would have opened every fucking package. I don't care.
That was something that annoyed the fuck out of me. I was like, why doesn't he open up every single package? John explained it to me, you know. Because it's like, they always say that thing about how he stole some disabled person's bicycle to make a delivery. Yeah. So it's like, at least there's going to be one package to, you know.
Did he say that?
So he can continue to be legendary. You know, he doesn't say it, but I guess... I thought it was more of one thing
he was holding on from his previous life.
Makes sense.
Although, I still when he goes to deliver the package, of course it's a fucking manic pixie dream girl, you know? I'm like, come on.
She wouldn't have a farm like that.
This is before manic pixie, that's funny.
Was she in that movie?
What? No, I'm saying it's before the whole manic pixie girl thing. This is pre-manic pixie girl.
Maybe she started.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that is. I'm lost.
That's like the perfect woman in a movie.
That's quirky, funny, attractive.
Oh, so one-dimensional female character?
Mm-hmm. Well, not really one-dimensional.
I wouldn't say it's one-dimensional.
It's more like in a dude's head, the perfect girl he would like.
The one that's like one of the guys.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But it's still super hot and everything.
Yeah, of course.
Watch 500 Days of Summer. Zooey Deschanel, that's Manic Pixie Girl.
No, I don't like her, though.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Manic Pixie Girl.
Okay, yep.
Elizabeth Town, what's her name? Mary Jane from Spider-Man.
Kirsten Dunst,
yeah.
Oh, she's definitely not Manic Pixie Girl.
Well, in the movie, she is.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
He's having a hard time, and his girlfriend just left him, and he just happens to meet this girl that is super interested in him. And
it's quirky fun, and shows him that life is worth living, and it's so much fun out there.
I feel like nowadays version of that is like a gamer girl.
Yeah.
Oh, she plays games and she's productive and she's hot and she somehow has a six pack. Okay, I get it.
That's
now.
Not fucking.
It makes sense. Anyway,
go ahead. But I wanted to say what I did like about Castaway was that airplane crash scene.
Oh God, he can shoot an airplane scene.
I thought that was really well done and believable, and looked horrifying to be in.
Yeah.
If Zemeckis could just do rides for Disney or something and direct the 4D experience and do that over and over
the
again.
VR experience?
Yeah. And now it's VR, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, in the old days they splash water at you or have smell, whatever the hell is in, you know, 4D.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but, it's similar to the flight was the same way, like that really intense scene. I think Castaway's plane scene's better. Because flight...
It looked amazing. I was trying to figure out how they did some of it, especially once he's outside and he's floating in the water and like seeing the pieces of it like falling in the water and everything. Yeah. I was really impressed with that. It wasn't stupid CG.
I know.
Yeah.
I unfortunately don't have anything I like about it. It ended, but that's. I actually have a question for you, Jamie.
Okay.
You're an editor.
I edit. I'm not.
While you edit, you're huge into pace.
Mm-hmm.
That end with Helen Hunt.
Yep.
Is that a well-paced part of the movie?
The rain scene?
When he goes to meet her.
Okay, yep.
And then to when he's having that conversation with that guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that well-paced, would you say? Because for me, it felt like it just dragged on for fucking ever and would not end.
I think the whole movie's like that. It's more methodical. It's not meant to be like quicker, you know what I mean? Unless it's like the airplane scene or the deliver the package in Russia scene. It's more like that scene, yeah, it could have been trimmed up. At that point, I mean, I expected that scene to be slow.
Okay, so you would say that a lot of this movie is slow.
Yeah, it's meant to be slow.
It meant to be slow, mm-hmm. Yeah. I've watched other movies that are meant to be slow.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to Be a God.
Yep.
12 Angry Men.
I've watched it.
But with those films, for me, it's like they had something interesting going on during that slowness. Like, 12 Angry Men, it had fantastic dialogue for how slow it was. Hard to Be a God, it had interesting visuals. So I think that's where like my problem with it was that the dialogue and the cinematography wasn't good enough for me to remain invested during all the slowness. And I mean, there could have been like better dialogue in the scenes when he's not on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And then have better cinematography when he's on the island. I mean, you've got an island. There could have been some really gorgeous, beautiful sunset shots. But it just all seemed just kind of like very basic. You don't see him, you know, out beating down the sun, you know, head slumped and, you know, it's golden light coming from the sun as it's setting on this, you know, island. Don't make it look like, you know, a travelogue, but at least kind of give something interesting in there to pull you along.
I don't know. To me, I guess it felt like, because Tom Hanks is an everyman, at times I felt lost in the experience. Like, what would I do in this situation? What would I, if we just talked about with water, I kind of felt like he was almost a proxy. Maybe that doesn't say much to his acting, but I mean, I felt like I was there with him trying to figure out what I would do. And I was kind of living that experience when I'm watching this movie. I don't know if that's like intentionally done that way. Probably not, but.
I mean, that's okay. Then I can see how you get the enjoyment out of it then, because you're not thinking about really the film at hand while you're watching it. You're kind of in your head thinking about what I'm doing.
I'm doing both.
Well, the fact that you can do both, though.
Right, it's not enough to pull you. Yeah.
When I was watching Neon Demon, I wasn't sitting there being like, what would I do if I was in the modeling agency as a 14-year-old girl or a 16-year-old white girl?
Oh, I didn't know if she's 16. That's gross.
Oh, no.
Now I'm freaked out watching that. Okay.
That's kind of the point of the movie, but...
Before we go off the movie, a couple things. So, an interesting tidbit. Tom Hanks had to stop filming for 10 months, grow a beard, and lose weight. Right? In between, they used everybody, the exact same crew, to make What Lies Beneath. Did you ever watch that movie with Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer? It's like a thriller. They made fun of it in Scary Movie 2, The Red Dress.
God, I think I've seen it, but it was so long ago.
To me, it wasn't like a... It was all right. It was okay, you know? I think... I don't know. After the 80s, I feel like, for the most part, Zemeckis became a... like you said earlier, John, an interesting concept in a Hollywood-style execution. Like Contact. Yeah. I liked Contact a lot, but it does feel the same way. It's really slow in a way, pacing-wise. And I would akin the script similarly to this type of script. Like, it's Hollywood version of a cool idea. Like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, I love his 80s movies so much.
Well, it's like when Hollywood... It's a concept like that, and then Hollywood whites it up. I say white, what I'm really referring to is just vanilla. Like the whole idea of vanilla, you know, they're not, you know, skating the edge on anything. They're not pushing boundaries. They're like, let's play it safe.
Clinical.
It's very clinical. Yep. Play it safe because white people got to watch this.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I get that. It does feel safe.
It's a movie.
Yep.
That's, I feel like, the best description, like Red Letter Media said about Bridge of Spies, also with Tom Hanks in it, you know, it was the moviest movie. And I always feel like, I feel like every single Tom Hanks movie I've seen is just the moviest movie.
I think there's one that's definitely not.
Suburbs?
Well, The Burbs,
yeah. Or Burbs or whatever.
The Burbs is fucking pinnacle of Tom Hanks.
Oh, really?
I mean, I think his Toy Story performances are better than a lot of his live action performances. Like, he emotes more than in his vocal talents in those films than he does in
some
films.
Oh, yeah.
Another point, and this is why I really fell in love with the movie in the past 7 years or so. Well, I guess, yeah, 7 years ago, I had a girlfriend break up with me, like, out of the blue. And then I watched this movie, like, the day after. And I guess I aligned myself with him in terms of losing Kelly, you know. Not that it was the same thing, but... And then that last scene where he's talking... Or not last scene. When he's talking to his friend about the whole thing. Like, that's one of my favorite scenes of the movie. It's just because of he finally gets it. And I like some of the things he said. Like, it may not be, quote-unquote, like, cinematic gold.
I guess I didn't get really anything out of that dialogue. I don't know if I couldn't hear all of it or something, but the only thing I really remember is him talking about, like, he went up to a cliff and he was going to jump, but then he thought of Kelly. And then that was what was pushing him through, and he realized that there was something more than her.
He talked about, like, trying to kill himself. The only choice I had, the only thing I could control was when and how and where it was going to happen. So he makes a rope and all that stuff, and he has to test it. That's not what it's cool about to me, is that he realized he had power over nothing. And that's when this feeling came over me like a warm blanket. I knew somehow I had to stay alive. I had to keep breathing. Even though there was no reason to hope, and all my logic said that I would never see this place again, that's what I did. I stayed alive. I kept breathing. My line delivery, by the way, Oscar worthy.
And then on par with Tom Hanks.
Oh, damn. Tomorrow the sun will rise. You know, who knows what the tide you'd bring. It just felt to me like at that point in my life, when I watched it then, this is a bump in the road. Because in the end, you've got to keep breathing. I mean, the sun's going to rise regardless if you're there or not. So why don't you fucking enjoy the view? Like, and just keep doing what you're doing and you'll get through this. And it was obviously a more fantastical version of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something I could take away from it and kind of learn in my life and implement in my recovery of the breakup, whatever you call it.
You didn't make a rope and test it off a cliff, did you?
Do you know any cliffs around here?
Chick Hill.
Oh my God, let's go.
You never thought of that.
I didn't know that back then. I'm not suicidal.
You don't have an inanimate object that you started talking to after the breakup?
I had my mattress and bedspring.
Oh.
Because we talked about that. Anyway, yeah. So
I don't get it.
No, I talked to my brother. He was pretty inanimate for a while. Love you, Trav. But that's all I have. For Castaway, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I got one. It's execution.
Are you going to kill me?
No. It's when he transitions or whatever from physically.
Mm-hmm.
When they show him, like, I think, is that after he, like, knocks the tooth out?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he blacks out, and then they do a fade to black.
4 years later.
And then they do the shot of the ocean. And it pops up 4 years later, and then there's a fish. Spear goes through the fish, and then it goes up to Tom Hanks. He's reeling in his spear with the fish on the end, and you see him transformed or whatever. I think that would have been an amazing scene had they not popped up that 4 years later.
Oh, okay. I got you.
How more. Cool would that been if just, like, you get a shot of the ocean, and you think, okay, you know, time is progressing as normally, and then you see the spear go through the fish, and you're just like... Well, he got better. And then you see him, and you're like, oh, yeah, time has passed.
Yeah, I would like to have not have known how long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he's not even be aware of how long. Mm-hmm. And then they tell him.
Exactly.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. A good reveal.
That was the thing that was, like, weird about on the island is, in the beginning, it's set up, he's a man obsessed with time.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's on the island, you don't really see him break from that obsession.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Like, he does look at the watch that his... girlfriend had given him, but he does that really stupid thing of, like, turning on and off the flashlight while looking at it. What's the point of that?
I don't know. Does so he can see days her passing without her? I don't know.
Her face brightening up in front of him. But, you know, it would have been more interesting if doing, like, close-up shots of, like, you know, him always looking at it and being, like, trying to see if time has passed.
What would be cool, I just thought of this now, if the whole time you see, like, you see her picture in it the first time, and the whole time you see him, his perspective, or rather, you see him looking at it. You don't see what's in the photo. And then you find out later, years later, he lost the photo. And it's just, he's been looking at this blank image Like, yeah. Like, years later, yeah, he looked at, he's been looking at this because he just had her in his memory or something.
That's what I, that's what I mean when I say it's typical and it's vanilla, in that there are, there would have been ways to make it more impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With scenes like that, you more know, using more metaphor, you know, and using, you know, abstract, you know, where it's things to make you think.
Yeah. More.
That's why I think it would be, they would have benefited by having somebody with them on the creative team to explain why these things would be emotionally impactful to somebody in this situation, to make mm-hmm. us understand what it would be like to be alone on an island for 4 years. Maybe get somebody who was stranded on an island for a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And have them explain, you know, this is what I've learned. This is what I figured out.
This is what will happen first, and this is what will happen second down the line.
You know? Not necessarily make it to where, you know, he gets everything right away, but, you know, also use that survivor's story of, you know, I tried this at first and it didn't work at all. Yeah. And so then I developed this other idea. I mean, they kind of established it was a small island somewhat, I feel. So it would have been kind of interesting if they would have done like a long take of just like watching him kind of like walk around it. Just kind of give immense, you know, the feeling that there isn't a lot to discover or explore. So that's why he's spending a lot of time just on the beach and not... Because there's no shots of him going deep into the island. It's all him on the beach.
I was waiting for that because I had seen it before when it came out. But I thought there had to have been a shot where he's going around the whole island.
Yeah. Well, there's a red herring, too. He keeps hearing shit in the bushes. He never fucking finds out what that is. Right?
No.
It's a coconut's fault.
Oh, yeah.
It's a coconut. Okay, yeah. It'd have been cool if he went to explore, like, and risked his life to potentially get food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he could have, like, faced his fear and then went out in the woods, and before he realized it was coconuts, could have been something there.
Yeah.
I think it was a setup for nothing.
It was food, though.
It was.
Coconuts.
Oh, can we talk about the fucking whale?
Oh, that CGI eye?
No. Well, even just the idea of the whale, like, it was... It was like a God-sent whale
herald or something. Some shit.
Like,
keep an eye on him.
Something's happening.
I mean, when he was like, splooge, like, ah, something's happening.
Wilson's floating away.
Who gives a shit? It's a fucking
volleyball.
There's
a ship behind you.
I think the ship itself would have woke him up.
No, the whale woke him up.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Splash him fucking face. It's like, why? But that, I don't know if that's what John was going with.
I was just more like, I hope he's hallucinating this.
Because I feel like a whale really wouldn't give that much of a shit. But no. It's a movie. Can't really, you know, get realism in it. But it had the weirdest eye. It was like
it's gross.
Like a very human eye. It winked at me. That was the only time I felt in the film.
I did recently watched, and this is an, like Neon Demon, I want to have make sure we all watch it, is a similar film as Swiss Army Man. Oh, and there's a lot more to talk about with that film. Holy fuck.
I can't wait.
Is that a Stranded Island film?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You didn't know that?
Yeah, I didn't know it was like a... Yeah. I knew that. I saw him on like the shot of him on a beach or whatever. I didn't know it was exactly... Yeah, but I didn't know it was exactly he was on a stranded island. So, comparing these two, though, which one you felt like did a better job with being stranded on?
Well, it's hard to really compare the two.
But...
I don't want to get into... that too much.
Yeah, we need to save that. It'll be good kind of follow.
What about cinematography-wise? Just cinematography. Like, do they actually do some interesting shots with the island and showing it off?
There's some cool shots. I mean, again, I don't want to get too much into it.
Well,
There's a lot. I mean, they play it up differently. Like, it's not like what you're hoping for, John, with, like, the taking more chances. They take chances in different ways. It's not the same type of plot. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain. Because obviously it's like a buddy movie because there's a dead guy. And yeah, I don't want to get into that too much. The less you know, the better. But yeah, so that's this episode. All right. So that was our thoughts on He Never Died.
Warcraft.
And Castaway. And obviously Not Quite Hollywood. Like us on Facebook. Talk to us there. Subscribe to us on iTunes, of course. Comment. Give us a review there if you want. NotQuitePod@gmail.com is our email. If you want to suggest a topic or a movie, do that too. And yeah, keep in touch. I'm Jamie.
John.
I'm August.
Talk to you guys later.
See you later.